Well, I don't think God meant for anyone to fill my shoes, but both the Brigadier and Jerry are doing a good job because I thought, well, we're having Lonnie to sing. Brigadier used her. I have on my notes to say thanks to Lee and Gertrude and the captain and his wife and the young captain that came along. It's all been done. How lovely. But it's just lovely to share in Glen Eyrie. And we've all had unusual experiences today, even if it's just been being scared stiff. And I think one or two maybe that happened to them too. But it's been a beautiful experience. I'd just like to tell you all the experiences I had. I went incognito and I talked to somebody, and when the army people went up, they said, well, somebody came and talked to us, but she wasn't one of yours. And after it was all over, I went to look for Napstele. He disappeared, and he'd been playing shuffleboard with folks that he'd been speaking to. And I met a little lad, and I thought it was a girl, but I said, what's your name? He said, my name's David. And I looked, well, I thought, boy or girl, it's David. And he said, and I got a book. And he showed me a book, and he said, what you got there? I said, well, I've got a book, too. He said, well, could I have one? So I gave him one, and he said, what does it say? I said, well, you better have Mom or Dad read it. He said, well, I said, where do you live? He said, we haven't got a house. We live in a car. I said, you do, huh? But I said, well, anyway, you take this and have Mom and Dad read it. And he said, well, what does it say? I said, the book tells you about letting Jesus in your heart. Oh, he said, I let him in my heart this afternoon. You can have the book back. So I came home with my book. Somebody's done a very good job before I did, though. But, well, that's just sharing some of the experiences, and you're going to share. It's going to be your opportunity, and you're going to come up here to the mic. If you're two or three in a row, you can sit on the floor if you want, or around here. And we all want to hear what's been going on. But first of all, you know, I think of the various classes we've had and how beautifully everything has dovetailed. And I think of, I was reading in Luke, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse. I read in Mark, I think it was the 6th chapter, the 20th verse, of how when Jesus had sent the disciples out, he brought them back. Whether it was 2 days, 4 days, or a week, he brought them back, and they talked about their experience. And this is what we are doing. We're coming in tonight to talk about the experiences that we've had. When he said, go out and make contact with the people, you've made the contact. And I'm sure it's enriched you as well as the people. And this is what we're going to share. Will you sing with me now song number 51? Song number 51. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. We've had it on all day, haven't we? Stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon his holy word. Will you stand with me as we sing, please? sing it. The band's going to join us. The piano and the organ will take over. I want you to really sing it. Clap it out. We had the 10-string instrument. So everyone.
We're going to sing a prayer course now, and that prayer course is Sweet Will of God, key of A-flat. Okay? Sweet will of God, still fold me closer, till I am wholly lost in Thee. And I can't think of a better prayer from our hearts tonight. And what I would like to do is sing it over once, and then we'll listen and pray as the piano plays it. And while we're listening to it the second time, let's really silently pray for the contact, the people we contacted today, and especially those who we know have needs, identified needs. So let's sing this chorus first of all, and then we'll listen to it and pray the second time. Sweet will of God, still our Heavenly Father, we praise You and adore You for the victory You have provided by sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. The victory of the cross over sin, the shed blood, and then the victory of the resurrection, which seals forever Satan and all of His hosts, and which gives us the opportunity to have a share in Your family. Our Heavenly Father, we think now at this very moment of those who have been touched today through some word, through some song, through some prayer that was prayed. We know, dear Father, that it is Your will that people be saved. It is Your will that people know and have knowledge and have the abundant life in You. And dear Lord, we pray that those who have been contacted today, those who have been had the four spiritual laws shared, will this very moment have a realization and a sense that You are close to them, that You have touched their lives. And dear Lord, for those who did not make a verbal decision or commitment, we pray, Lord, that You will not leave them alone, that Your Holy Spirit will strive with them, and through the words that were given today and through the prayers that were ascended up into heaven, that they will come to a knowledge of your love and salvation. Dear God, we pray as we share with each other tonight that we will have a new vision of what you can do through us as your people. Be with us, each one, throughout this evening, we pray. In thy precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Our scripture reading tonight is found in Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Would you turn your song book to song number 60? There shall be showers of blessings.
Amen.
This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons of refreshing sent from the Savior above. Shall we sing all four stanzas?
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing.
When I'm supposed to do what. Well, that wasn't too impressive a song. I was watching you all, and you looked like you had just been rained out. So we're going to get a little life in there. I know that you've got things you want to share, and we're going to do a little warm-up for that. And we're going to sing J-O-Y, and it's Down in My Heart. Now, the staff knows this song, and I expect 100% out of the staff. And you feel comfortable with No. No, not that one. J-O-Y and da-da-da-da-da. Oh, you'll learn it. Okay. Now, we're not going to clap on this one, okay, this time, so that people get the words. And then the second time, we'll clap, and you'll pick it up. Can I have the staff stand up? Okay? 100% here, okay? Here we go.
J-O-Y, and it's down in my heart. Way deep down in my heart. J-O-Y, and it's down in my heart. Way deep down in my heart. Jesus gave me this joy. Joy that none can destroy. J-O-Y, and it's down in my heart. Way deep down in my heart.
And we'll sing it without the clapping, okay? So that we all have the words. Now, it's impossible to sing. So back there in the back row, and some of you over there, and in the band, J-O-Y. I had a little, must have been a four-year-old on my lap this afternoon, and her name was Joy. And she was beautiful. She was like the joy of Jesus incarnate. She was just gorgeous. And we want to sing like the joy is incarnate, right? In the flesh, in us. Here we go.
J-O-Y, and it's down in my heart. Way deep down in my heart. J-O-Y, and it's down in my heart. Way deep down in my heart. Jesus gave me this joy. Joy that none can
sounds really good. We're going to add a little bit to it, okay? You can't sing that song without beginning to snap your fingers. So watch. Watch the staff. Watch Brigadier Henry. How he does. Now we're going to get him up here in a minute.
You'll be old someday.
Yes, I will. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. Here we go. Ready? Do it again, because I know some of you are there like this, and I see some people can't come. We're going to get it down tonight. We're going to sing this a few more times until it's you have it down and you can take it back to your core. Now to do this, we're going to get a string of people up here to help out, okay? I'm going to ask the three people that I room with. Sure. And could I have Major Rader and Captain Price and Tom Meyer? Okay, and then down the hall we have some friends, Roger Green, right? And rooming with Roger is Captain Johnson. And okay, front of the podium, y'all. And who else? Who else? Who else is in your rooming with y'all? Oh, Major Garrington. I knew it. Now, lest we really miss the pro, the real pro is the Secretary for Personnel in the Western United States, right? So, all right. So, I got you, right? You will never see a group like this again. I'm counting on y'all to do it right. Okay, here we go. And y'all can sing, and you try it, you know, it's safe.
Down there.
Because we're going to get you up on your feet pretty soon. Here we go.
J-O-Y, and it's down in my heart. Way deep down in my heart. J-O-Y, and it's down in my heart. Way deep down in my heart. Jesus gave me this joy. Joy that night in this joy. J-O-Y, and it's down in my heart.
Now, Brigadier Henry, if you'll come up. Brigadier Henry, and everybody stand up and we'll try it, okay?
Right up here, Brigadier.
Okay. We're going to turn around.
No.
We'll turn around. We'll turn around.
To your left.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Starts that way. J. O. Okay, here we go.
J. O. Ryan.
I heard Captain Price say, glory. Well, that's the second song we're going to sing. And we're going to get the women up here in a minute. Okay, do you know the song? When the glory gets into your soul, my brother, when the glory gets to your soul, my friend, we will shout the praises of our heavenly Father when the glory gets into your soul.
Okay, now I need some help. Any women out there who know this song? Let me see.
My wife.
Your wife. Where is your wife? Where is she? Come on up, come on up. Okay, you're going to have to help me with this. Is there anyone else you know who knows the song?
Cindy.
Come on up, Cindy, over here.
And I think Sue knows it.
And Sue?
Sue knows it.
Okay, come on, Sue. Good.
Doris knows it. I know she knows
Oh,
it.
Doris, great.
One place I learned it.
Okay, then we'll go through the whole thing, okay? And those of you who know it, sing it out. Here we go.
When the glory gets into your soul, my brother, when the glory gets into your soul, my friend, we will shout the praises of our heavenly Father, when the glory gets into your soul. When the glory, glory, when the glory, glory, when the glory gets into your soul, we will shout the praises of our heavenly Father, when the glory.
Good, we'll try it again. A little more enthusiasm. Let's get everybody up, okay? And let's see if we can get Mrs. Colonel Evans up here. Please, I know this is hard, but let me tell you something. Praise comes easy when the Lord is here. Let's really praise Him on this. Let's enjoy this song, When the Glory Gets Into Your Soul, okay?
When the glory gets into your soul, my brother, when the glory gets into your soul, my friend, we will shout the praises of our heavenly Father, when the glory gets into your soul, when the glory, glory, when the glory, glory, when the glory gets into your soul, we will shout the praises of our heavenly Father, when the glory.
Okay, we're going to try it one more time, if you bear with me. We're going to pick it up a little bit. But I want to say that at the dinner table last night, someone said something about putting their hands up. You know, and it's so hard. And maybe people will think we're Pentecostal or something, you know. That was sort of the gist of the conversation. But praise the Lord, the Bible says that we can lift our hands, right? And so lift your hands, get them up there on this one, and just enjoy. Enjoy the Spirit of the Lord and enjoy the glory feeling. Okay, here we go.
When the glory gets into your soul, my brother, when the glory gets into your soul, my friend, we will shout the praises of our heavenly Father, when the glory gets into your soul. When the glory, glory, when the glory, glory, when the glory gets into your soul, we will shout the praises of our heavenly Father, and the glory gets into your soul.
And everybody said?
Amen.
Well, I thought you were going to say glory. And everybody said? Glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Jonathan. You know, everybody is so very kind and gracious in agreeing to help.
And Doris Locock doesn't want to go back to Chicago. She goes to one of those sophisticated corps, and I go to the Temple Corps, and we're going to see which corps learns it the first. I'm sure it'll be Mount Clair, Doris. I'm sure it will be. I think I'm scheduled to be at my home corps in about 8 Sundays. But thank you. It's very important that we do show our praises to the Lord. You know, some people are very shy about it. But I think of Damon here. He's been in Rhodesia, and they wiggle and they shake with everything, don't they? And so in South Africa, you just can't stand still. And when the glory does get into your own soul, and when the Lord blesses you, well, you want to share it with others. We're going to sing a chorus, then we're going to have it open, and I want 3 people up here ready to give their witness of what the Lord has done for them today and done through them. And our first chorus is, lift up the army banner, blood and fire. How many of you know it? Oh, we sing it because you're going to learn it anyway. All right.
Lift up the army banner, blood and fire.
Anybody waving a army flag? Nobody got the army flag. I saw it last week one day. Lift up the army banner, blood and fire, blood and fire. Lift up the army banner, blood and fire. Lift it higher, for it tells of a full salvation. Hallelujah. And don't be afraid to sing it and clap your hands, all right?
Lift up the army banner, blood and
sing it once more because I can't see anybody. Invisible people. Once more, and 3 of you, please, feel free to come up. Lift up the army banner, blood and fire. Amen. Will you use the microphone, please? Hallelujah.
I don't know how to quite put this. I went out today and I talked to somebody. But before I went out, I think probably the best job I've seen so far was for my wife. We've not had problems between us, but I've had problems inside. And right before I went out today, she said, why don't you read this? And, you know, I did. And I read the blue one. And there was a picture in the blue one, and it was the other circle. And I realized that I was a carnal Christian, and it really hurt. And when I went out and talked today, I realized what I was trying to tell people. And it was a new excitement. And maybe I had left a seed, maybe I didn't. But it was planted. And I just thank her for helping me, and that's part of the reason why we came here this week. And if nothing else, I've found my salvation again. And thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I came here. I had a brand new experience today, and I enjoyed it. And I know that the Lord lives and He performs miracles. When I was told that I had been accepted to come to Glen Eyrie, I started questioning myself and I started saying, why? Why me? What have I done? What have I proven? Why should I be elected to go? And then when I got here, I kept saying, why me? What can I do? I'm a nothing. I can't do anything. And then this afternoon, when I went to the park, I'm still nervous, still scared, still saying, why me, Lord? And I stood back and I surveyed, and I see some young men sitting over here, and I was going to go over to them. No. I see an elderly gentleman over here. I was going to go over and talk to him. Feeling wasn't there. Started to walk through, and I spotted a man sitting by himself in the back. And I went over, something just drew me to him. and I started to talk to him. The man had been a Christian once, and he'd lost Christ. And as we talked, my own story started to unfold. And I realized that the Lord had brought me all the way from Connecticut to Colorado Springs to meet a man that I know his name is Ken and to lead him back to the Lord. Praise the Lord. He works in mysterious ways. This man had told me how he was so full of joy working for the Lord, slipped away from the Lord, started to live a life away from God. He told me how his life had been mixed up, how he's looking for somebody to talk to, but he couldn't find anybody. For the last 3 months, this man has been under conviction, but he just didn't know who to turn to, how to turn there. He was feeling guilty. He said, do you think I can be saved? I turned my back on the Lord. And I said, who hasn't? I said, how many disciples did Jesus have? He had 12, didn't he? The man said, yes. I says, well, how many of them did not turn their back on the Lord? And he thought about it for a minute. And he said, all of them did. And I said, and how many of them did he not receive back into the fold? And he said, he received them all. And I said, then why don't you think he can receive you back? And we prayed in that park. And tonight, there's another man that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name. And I thank the Lord for letting me come here and to find that man in that park. And I'm never going to forget Colorado Springs in that little park today. Because I helped the man find the Lord.
Hallelujah. I want to know which one of my partners there shoved me out of my seat. I don't know why I'm up here. I guess the Lord wants me up here. But you know, today I had a unique experience too. My husband says he's the knocker and I'm the talker when we go on visitation at home. But today I did something I've never done before. I shared the four spiritual laws. I don't know what the result is going to be. The people I shared with did not come out and accept Christ at that time, but I planted a seed, something I've never done before. And I praise God because I'm going to go home and I'm going to do it again. And I know now why I came to Glen Eerie. God has set a fire in me, and it started last night. We had a private sharing time in our cabin, and we prayed till midnight. God answers prayer, folks. And he's done something for me. If no one else gets anything, I've got the fire, and I'm going to keep on.
Amen.
When Captain Price was talking today about gaining the victory, I thought that he was talking about actually leading someone to the Lord. But you know, there's a victory just going out there and planting that seed. We went today and we got our knuckles pretty raw because most of the places we went to, there was no one home. But there was one place that we went. And Jonathan, you talked about having a little girl on your lap. Try sharing the four spiritual laws with five kids climbing all over you. We went to this little house and Diane Smith and I. And the girl that answered the door wasn't the one we were supposed to talk to according to the list. The mother had gone to work. But the girl who was there had moved back home, and so had her two sisters because they had gotten into trouble somewhere. And they had five little children there who were under 6 years old. And the girl says, when we went to the door, we told them who we were and that we would just like to share something with them. And she says, I don't know, our house is a mess. I said, we didn't come to visit with you, or with your house, we came to visit with you. You ought to walk into my front room sometimes. Because it isn't the house that's important, I says, it's you. So she invited us in, and we went into a front room that wasn't very much larger than this podium. And those five little children, there was a kitchen and with a crib, with a baby in the crib. And then the front room had just a couch and a bed. And We sat down on the couch and we began to share the four spiritual laws. The girl was undecided when it came to the prayer. And she was a little shaky. She didn't want to pray it. So we went ahead, like you said, Captain. And we finished sharing out the book with her. And when we left, just before we left, we had a word of prayer. And I told her that I would have Major Ball send someone, if he couldn't come himself, someone would be there from the Corps here. And she said she'd like that. Now, I'm like you are. I don't know what the results are going to be. And the field that we were plowing wasn't a very large field, but at least we got a spadeful out of there so that we could plant that one little seed. And so if you will pray for Elizabeth Ann James. She gave me her full name. She didn't want just put down Ann James. She gave me her full name, Elizabeth Ann James. And I told her that we would pray for her and that someone would visit her. And I'm just praying that somehow with the laws, fierce spiritual laws that we left with her, that that seed will blossom, because there are five beautiful little children. And there are three young sisters that really need the Lord. They've really become a burden to me. Pray for me too.
Amen. Isn't it marvelous how the Lord just helps us? Sometimes we think in the core, well, you know, I'm really doing fine, but when the opportunities come and we take them, how beautiful. We become richer. Isn't it marvelous that we're the child of the King?
Yeah.
And our Father just pours down from His wealth and His resources continually the grace, the strength, the power, and the understanding that we need. And now Cindy's got together an octet, and we're going to listen to them.
Last night when Colonel Zeme mentioned to me, or kind of informed me, that she'd like me to get together a group. Well, I'm not a singer. I'm not a soloist. I'm not even part of a duet. But I will sing with a songster brigade, a group, or anything like this. And when I was talking with one of the guys in the group, I had kind of in my mind a certain song maybe to sing, some songs that I really love in the Army. And he thought of one. We're going to sing it tonight. It's found in the Joy and Victory section of our songbook. Last night, when we thought of this song, we had faith that there was going to be victory today.
Right.
Ever is the war cry, victory, victory. Write it on your banners, get it on your knees. Victory, victory, victory. I think we all got the victory today.
Amen.
Victory, victory, victory.
Thank you very much. Now, we know there are others. You can come from either side, around, up and down, wherever you want to be. If you'll come up here when we're going to sing a chorus, I am not under law, I'm under grace. And then we want some more folk up here, please. So come up where we sing it. I am not under law.
Got up here and said that I was a knocker and she was a talker. Well, today I learned that I too can talk, and I'm praying that God will give me the voice to go home and to explain to everyone just exactly how I feel and how I love Him. I am really under His grace, and I want to always remain there.
I don't know really what I'm going to say, but I guess I'm like a lot of other people in this room. When I got notification that, you know, I might be coming here, I had a lot of reservations, a lot of fears. And I guess I'm really here out of selfishness. I came here with a very heavy heart, and it's still very heavy. In my family evangelism class, I told them why I was here. I have parents that it's been a really rough life, and I don't live at home any longer, but I know that they're not saved. And I have five younger brothers that four of them have quit school and dropped out, and my youngest brother, which I love very dearly, is headed down the same road. And it just tears your heart to know that sometimes there's not too much that you can do. Well, like I said, I came here with a heavy heart. I've gone home many times, sort of preaching, sort of praying, and not really knowing what step to take next. My co-officer wife says that the only thing that you can do is plant the seed. And I didn't believe that in my heart, because I felt, you know, it had to be me. I have to get them to come to the point to accept the Lord as their Savior. But today, going out there, even though you don't feel, you know, that you brought someone to Christ, you felt that you planted the seed. And that's the assurance that I needed today, that I did plant a seed. And when I go from here, I'm going to try one last time to plant that seed in my home. And I hope and pray that you guys will say a prayer for me, that some way my mom and my dad and my brothers might be saved.
I tell you one thing. Just because you put on that blue uniform, that doesn't mean the devil's not going to work on you. In fact, I think it works just a little bit harder. I'm pretty active in my corps. But when they come to open airs or to going out and evangelizing, I always step aside. I just don't like it. It's not me. I'm not meant to go out and bang on doors. And I believe that's why my pastor had me come here this week. And I tell you, when I got in that van tonight and we was driving out, someone made the doors were rattling, someone made the crack go, whose knees were shaking? But they were mine, believe me. You're probably looking at the biggest chicken you've ever seen, because I was scared. And we didn't really get into any houses today. But we did knock on some doors. We did talk to some people. We gave out some tract. We talked to a few people on the streets. And then I began to realize that God wants me to do his job. I might not be the best. And I might not be a world great evangelist. But if I get out and I try and I do my best for the Lord, that's all he's asking of me. I can guarantee you one thing. I'm not going to back out no more. When I get home, Prince William's going to know I've been here. We've got a great core. And we've got great possibilities in our core. And we do not, I'm sorry today, evangelize enough to the public. But that's going to change, I promise you.
You're looking at a team here that God used today. Yes.
Victory.
Victory, victory. And I just want to praise his name because he's saved and he's alive.
Amen.
Oh, okay. Rose. Someone like it today.
Rose is a weeper, I'm worse. The first house we went to, there was no one home. The second house was an apartment and the address was wrong. The party didn't live there any longer. The third one was the same thing. The fourth house we went to, there was the biggest, meanest dog in the place. And I'm going, Pat! And she just goes, nice doggy, nice doggy. We walk up to the door. We knock on the door, and a gentleman answers, and we asked if Lucy was there. And he goes, that's my girlfriend. She's at work. So we told him we were from the Salvation Army, and he said, sure, I'd like to talk with you. Come on in. He was the most receptive. The Holy Spirit had been there before we were.
Thank you, Jesus.
He had been planted before in a garden that he couldn't grow. He was in a juvenile prison, and he had really rough time. He was 22 years old, my age, and we could relate on that level. But he prayed the prayer, and he meant it, and the Lord was there. And he used Pat and I like we've never been used before. And I just praise his name. He's such a wonderful God.
Amen. I'd just like to add that God answers prayer. It was so heavy on my heart last night that we come together and we just pray before we went out because some of our fellows were a little bit nervous. And we had victory last night in our cabin, and I praise God for that. And I have Captain Johnson for my personal witness class, and he said, before you do anything, he says, pray about it. Well, they dumped us out on the street, and Sue and I stood there, and we stood right there, and we prayed. And I know because we prayed with God. Yeah, he gave us victory today, and he gave us victory last night. And I praise his mighty name.
Amen. Amen.
Well, at the core from our envoy, he turned my name in to come to the evangelism seminar. When I first got the letter back that I was coming, the reason that I felt that I should come was because at our core, we have a majority of teenagers. We have about 11 adults and about 20-something teenagers at our core. And then it drops down to the younger kids. But as I came, I found out not only my core, but like every core that I talk to people that I met up here has the same problem. All problems seem to be universal and not just man. But I have to say, the light of the day since I've been here has been Brigadier Henry. He reminds me of the envoy that we have at our core. 1 year ago, this month, he came and took over our core, which was on his knees and on his way out. But when he came with the Word of God, in his heart, in his hand. He said when he walked in the door that he couldn't do anything for our core. All he could do was bring us the Word of God. And it had to be our own lives and our own heart that take over. From that point, I began to glow and to grow again. I began to witness at work again. Because people that I've been working with the last 17, 18 years told me that they could see a fresh fire in my heart. Witnessing like I went out today wasn't nothing new. The only difference was I'm not used to going out in a place that I've never been before. We didn't get many people to talk to. But I feel what I've picked up from Glen Eyrie as of today is going to change my life and life in my core for the time to come. Like I said, the highlights of my stay at Glen Eyrie has been Brigadier Henry, because he put a fresh new look on a Salvation Army officer to me. Like I was talking to Roger today, I told him for 5 years we had it was about three officers, but I could tell him everything that was going to be done. We sung two songs, we prayed, we took up an offering, they talked 20 minutes, they sung a closing song, and we went home. This is what happened at our corps for, I know, at least the last 5 years. And the 5 years before that, we got officers that was getting out of the Army or they were in trouble. I appreciate Roger because I enjoy the Bible study. Because I've learned more about the Bible in the last year than I learned in my whole lifetime. I learned because God's Word said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And in Hebrews 11th chapter it says, how can we please God without faith? How can we please God without His Word? And if we diligently seek Him, He's a rewarder of us that look to Him. And I would like to thank all of you that accepted me right off the bat. When I came to Glen Eyrie, I didn't know a soul. The guy come with from my division, I met him Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Now I know a host of people, and I feel that I have many friends. And I'd like to thank Mike and Amy.
We go out in the power of Christ, but it's the Word. The Word is powerful. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. We'll all be young people. And then, of course, we have Lonnie that's going to come and play her guitar and sing for us. The B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. Try it once more. We got to get some exercise in here. All right. The B-I-B-L-E. Right. Amen. Okay.
I want to praise the Lord tonight that I am a part of His light that shines in this world today. And we all know that it's our responsibility to shine His light, to be a light within the Lord, and to share it and to give it away, not to keep it. The song I like to sing is called The Light Song. Sunshine in your life. this world seems to grow darker every day, and there is only one true answer. The answer is the light of the Lord shining through you, for you must shine His light.
It's so important that the sunshine sort of goes out through us. Yeah. You know, have you ever met any of those Christians that's got a long face? I don't know what kind they had in St. Louis, Timas, but when I come down there, I'm going to expect great things. You know, we must let our light shine. We're going to have some more testimonies, and we're going to sing, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." Now, if you want to come up and sing your testimony, we're not going to stand in your way. My mother had 8 children, and the only singer in our family, as I often say, was the sewing machine. But we're all going to sing, and I've got a song in my heart, so let's sing it. And it's going to be my testimony, because I must let my light shine.
Seen nothing great as the day after this wonderful planning and this wonderful meeting of Christians at Glen Eyre, determined to go out and evangelize the streets door to door. That means that marks a brand new beginning that I can just see just exploding everywhere. We went to the projects area over there, and as we pulled up, naturally it looked strange that we looked strange pulling up in a little yellow bus. We found it looked strange to come in and setting up. We had two instruments in the band. We set up and decided, well, we set out the trombone, that bass trombone, which is like four instruments, incidentally, when that bass trombone. Anyway, we decided we'd start the open air, and we'd split off into the project in sections and go on. Now, I don't know what happened in everybody else's section, but it must have been good, because when we got back to that bus, everybody was rejoicing. And I don't mean talk about the 70 in Luke 10. I mean, they were screaming and yelling on the bus and telling all kinds of stories. But I ain't going to tell a story that happened to me and Mark. We found a section where nobody else was working, and so we started right down. And we knocked on one door. There was nobody there. So we decided we'd go across the street. Knock on another door. We met the lady coming in, and she says, "Get out of here." She said, "I don't want to hear none of this old, none of this racket you got like that." And I said, "The Lord loves you, and we love you. We're concerned about you. We're from the Salvation Army. And that's why we're here. We're concerned about this community. And we're concerned about the people in the community." And the little dog was sitting over there. And I said, down came the dog. And the first thing you know, I had it patting it. And she was sitting on the steps, keeping that distance, pointing out. "Yeah, and I can't find me no job, and they won't give me no job around here, and I'm 50 years old, and I can't find a job." I said, "There's possibilities. God will do anything for anybody. He can change your life, and he can rejuvenate everything." And besides that, I only get two things. I said, "There are ministers in this area that are concerned about you and your plight. You can talk to them." Before that time, Mark had all every ounce of information from her that he needed, including the fact that she had joined a church in 71, a Baptist church, and she said, "I quit them." So by that time, they had gathered around us. Now they found us. They found out that we really mean business. Evidently, they knew her. And if we could get past her, they were good. And so, and besides that, we had spent quite a bit of time with her. She was. So we went on up into the next house. They were kind of waiting, and there was a lady that had children. So many children. She had a child in her arm, and we told her the same thing. We're concerned. We're here. Our motto is others. And we have a Salvation Army Corps in here, Captain Ball, but would like to know more about you, and for you to know more about him and get concerned. And we got good conversations, and out come the four spiritual laws, and as I was witnessing to her. Through the four spiritual laws, we got all the way to the prayer, to the part where I read the prayer, Captain. so that she could hear it. And I asked her, "Does that represent the desire of your heart and what you would like for yourself and for your children?" She said, "Yes." Just about that time, a sister came with a stroller. And the little boy, the little boy came running up the stairs he'd bended over in the air, and he had a banner saying, "Jesus loves me." He had it all folded up. He said, "Straighten it out for me." And I was one of my little children. And I straightened it up, and he said, "Read it." I said, "The same thing." I said, now you read it." He said, "Jesus loves me." He said, "Jesus loves me." And he ran in the house. And by that time, her sister was coming up the stairs, and we had to split up. So many people, and then there was another one downstairs waiting for us. I'm upstairs witnessing. Mark is down. Like Ezra the Spire, man. That's all he could do. Poor guy didn't have a chance to get to his four spiritual lives. And so by the time it was over, we had covered that ground, including two people that were not from the immediate house, and we got all those down, and we had ran out. When we ran out, somebody had came in behind us and covered all that area. So that area was well covered. We decided to go back. When we get back to it, it started raining a little bit. Everybody was taking shelter under the rain. When we get back, the same lady that had told us to get back was under the shelter with all the soldiers. And so I just want to tell you, the street ministry is the only way. That's the only way we're going to get them. We just have to go out there and get them. We can't hide in our core. Praising the Lord. We gotta get it. It's obvious, and I'm sure it's obvious in every heart here. And now let's praise Jesus for these meetings. Hallelujah.
You may see me shaking a little. I'm a sensitive man. You can call me, and I just shake when I feel the presence of God around me. And you know, I can't stand sitting still when I feel God's presence. You know, it makes me like. And I'm sensitive. When I see people cry, I begin to cry. When they're happy, I'm happy. And when they're sharing sorrow, I gotta sit there with them, listening to them, and then they tell me their sorrows, and I tell them mine. And you know, that's how Christians should be. Loving each other so much that you can go with them, no matter where they go, no matter what they do and how they do it. You're right there with them side by side. And that's the way Jesus is. He's there no matter where you are, no matter where you go, no matter how you feel. If you're down in the dumps, he will lift you up. And I'm glad that he's here in the presence right now, and I can feel him working. I can feel him literally here watching over everybody. He's watching us step by step. And you know, if you're in our group, we went out to Manitou Springs. You may think, what am I doing out here? You go. You wait. No answer. You go to the next door. No answer. Then the next one, I rang the bell. And you know, the other ones didn't have bells. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I didn't ring the bell. They didn't have the bells. That's why. He opened the door and I said, we're from the Salvation Army. We're here on an evangelism ministry, and I'm from Connecticut. And I'm wondering if you heard about the four spiritual laws. I don't care. That's what he said. I don't care. I went to another church and I don't care about what you do. I go to my church and I'm faithful. And I just said, God loves you. And right there, I hope that seed was planted, and I know it was. His attitude may have changed after I left, but I know he wasn't changed when I was there. And I hope that since I said, God loves you, he has changed. And I know that's the powerful words that you can say to anybody. God loves you. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they are. But if you say, God loves you, they'll automatically, I don't know him. Maybe someone don't know him. And they'll say, who's God? And I'm glad to say that I'm a Christian. I'm from a core. It's not a big core. They call it the baby core of the division. I'm from Connecticut in Winston, Torrington. You may not have heard of it. Torrington. My core is little kids. And you know, I'm concerned with little kids. I want to see them come up with God at their side. I don't just like having a big core where you don't get to know nobody. Get to know nobody. I like the baby core where you can feel together. Where you can share the sorrows and the happiness. Because in our core, if you're there sometime, the meetings are... We may be small. At night, there's four of us. I remember in my church in Winston, now it's the Torrent, and in Winston, there used to be two of them. Two members, me and the officer. But that meeting, there was power in that meeting. I felt it. But I know since the core may be small, it's great in power. And that's the way I like it to be. And that's why I came here this week. I looked over my core before I came. I studied it. And I was wondering what was wrong with the core. And I've seen why. Some of the people aren't concerned. And that's why I came here. Because I want to be the one that starts the fire. Amen. I want to be the one that can say, I love Jesus. I want to be the one that can lead them. And that can show them the way. I just don't want to sit back and say, you can do it. I take the responsibility upon myself. See, there I go again. Excuse me. I just don't like to sit back and see others do it. I want to say, I'm part of Jesus' family. And as a family, you know, you do things together. And I'm just glad to say that right here now, you may be from all different territories, different divisions, different parts of the world, but we can say we're all one. We're all the same, no matter what our nationalities, no matter what our creed and all that. But I'm just glad to say that Jesus Christ can take the smallest person and make him strong and make him powerful. And I'm just glad to say that as I leave this place Saturday, I'm going to have regrets of leaving. But it's going to be regrets of joy that I have to go. And all the friends that I have made. And I'm just glad to say that as I go, I can bring more power than I already have. I can say that I have grown stronger. That I have grown closer. Because many people in my core, they teach a class. I teach a young class. And I'm a part of the Sunday school teaching program. I'm in YPSM, as you can see, and I'm involved with all the programs. Some of them programs are not really what they should be. My class, you can see the kids growing. Because I've become a part of them. And I'm just wanting to say that I hope you will pray for my core. And especially pray for me. Because in my core, I look back and I see, I'm really the one that takes all the responsibility. The officers are there with me. They have the responsibility too. But me as the person of the church who needs the responsibility, not the officers. As Anderson Rose once, you have the responsibility, not the officers. And I just like to say that I can go back to church, my core, help others to receive and take the responsibility also. Because I feel heavy burdened since I'm the only one who really cares for what happens to the future. They may not care, but I still love them. I still care for them, and I hope that they can see that they need to take the opportunity to take the responsibility. And I hope that you'll pray for me and that I can grow spiritually strong. And I came here, I went out on the streets. I felt Jesus with me, even though I didn't go and meet somebody face to face and talk to them. I felt Jesus there with me. And I hope all of you, no matter what happens in your core, you can still feel Jesus. You can still feel the power. And I hope that you can grow spiritually strong. And just pray for my core. I'm from Winston and I'm the Torrington core, if you don't know it.
Amen. Amen.
My name is Roger Joyce. I come from Las Vegas, as you all know. And I wondered why I was sorted out to become the delegate, but I wasn't. There was a young lady that was supposed to come as a delegate, and I was the alternate. And they finally came to me and said, you're going to have to go. I look out and I see all of you young people. And I'm up 60 years old. Today, there was a young lady. I didn't know how old she was. And we went out together. And the first place we were to go, there was a big German policeman. And was he roaring? Oh, he was ready to tear us apart. She said, "We ain't going to go in there." I said, "No, not about me. I'm not going to go in there. So let's go to the next place." So I says, she said, "Well, you're supposed to do it first anyhow, so fine, I'll go out to the next place, but I'm not going in there." So we went to the next place, and it happened to be they had a little tiny dog. We knocked on the door, and the man came to the door, and I started, I says, "My name is Roger, Amy, and we're from the Salvation Army, and it's as far as we got." He stepped out. Well, he says, "We ain't got no time." He says, "The neighbor's little girl just got bit by our dog. I got to go take care of that." Wow. Well, so we handed him the material we had and told him to read it. And we were sorry he couldn't listen to the rest of us, but we'd pray. And we went on. I think we sowed a little seed. But in that yard was a man mixing some, I don't know whether it was a paint, mixing up some paint or something. And he was looking at us. And we came out. And hey, he says, "What's going on?" He says, "I see the Salvation Army around here." He says, "I never see so many of them." He says, "I've been here 10 years and I ain't seen them like that. I know they're here, but I ain't seen them like that. What's going on?" And we told him, "Well, we're going around on visitations." "Oh, that's great, that's great. We think a lot of the Salvation Army." And you know, right then and there, I was thinking that the outdoor was a spot for that, because he was really enjoying it. And he was talking. They haven't been out. I know they haven't in my hometown. Not in Las Vegas. Of course, there may be reasons, but we're going to find out about it anyhow. And then we went along, and it tickled me. We didn't find anybody else at our doors, and we came to one door, and the lady says, "Oh, somebody's already been here." So that kind of embarrassed me a little bit. I says to her, "Where are we going now?" She said, "Well, let's go down here." I said, "Well, all right, we'll go down around the road." And we goes down there, and we come to go into this place. Wow, 3 dogs come out. She says, "I never saw so many dogs." She says, "That's one way of keeping us out." But I will tell you now that I've been with the Salvation Army since 1972. I didn't join them then. I waited until 74. But I was given that little tuba over there I've been playing. I don't do a very hot job on it, but I try. It was given to me by a colonel from Canada, a wonderful man. You've all heard of Dave Moulton. This man's name was Colonel Arthur Moulton. And if there was ever a godly soldier, he's one. And he gave me a part of him. In doing that, I got a recorder on my own, started fooling around. I think you all know what a recorder is. And I do League of Mercy work in a rest home there in Las Vegas. And I take that little recorder with me. And you know something? Those people, some of them, feel a little bit disappointed if I happen to forget it or something and don't have it, because they sure ask me about it. Once in a while I come in, one will ask me to pray with them. I pray. One will ask me to read the Bible for them. Or one perhaps will say, "Will you write a letter for me? I cannot write the letter." And you know, the more I look into their faces, I may be there someday. Oh boy, I hope somebody comes to see me. Because it will be lonely if they don't. And all you young folks, think of that. I'm old, but if I can only inspire one young child, one young person, to get out and do something for the people, God has done a wonderful thing through me. Amen.
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 I was wondering why I was sent here, but now I know, and I can feel a great movement here. I don't speak too well, but when I heard this girl talk about her family, her little brothers and sisters, I just choke up and cry, and I know why the Lord sent me here. now because I want to go back, because I work with young children, the fifth, sixth grades. And at that age, we need to get out and get all the children we can till the seams run over in our church. And I praise the Lord tonight.
You know, I chose to come out here to Colorado. I'm just a young person in the Lord, though. I've only been with the Lord 5 years. 73 is when I got. But the Lord really blessed me. And I was talking to a guy today, and he was drinking and that, and he said he just got out of jail. He was in jail 45 days. And he was drinking, and he says, well, you wouldn't understand why I'm in this shape and that anyway. And I said, why? He said, well, you're a Christian. You don't know nothing about what happened to us other guys. I said, I want to beg your pardon. I says, 6 years ago, I wasn't an alcoholic. I was a plain out drunk. Sometimes I'd go 3 and 4 days, I wouldn't even know where I was. When I come to, then I found something else to drink. And you know, when I quit drinking, I quit cold turkey all at once. And I didn't quit myself. God stopped me from drinking. And you know, I said right then, when I says, God, if you get me out of this without me dying, that's how sick I was. I said, I'll never touch another drop in my life. And I spent 5 years. And I also said, God, if I get out of this alive, any place you ask me to go, or anything you ask me to do, I'll do. And I want to praise his holy name tonight.
We as human beings can make many mistakes, but the Lord has made no mistakes. And I like to relate back to when I was accepted to come here. I know my wife and I had not been studying Bible study very much. And we took it very seriously and studied our lessons pretty well. And then I happened to run across a little article that said there are 3 stages to Bible study. And when I read them, I says, my gosh, I don't want to go then if this is the case. But I'm glad that I have. And when I relate my story in full, I think you will understand why. The one stage is the castor oil stage, in which you take it like medicine just because you know that it's good for you. And another stage is the Nabisco biscuit type, dry but nourishing. And then there is the peaches and cream stage. I used this in a testimony just before I came here, and I wasn't able to complete that testimony because of the fact I didn't feel that I had come to the peaches and cream stage of Bible study yet. The Lord must have known what he was doing, because our core officer, a couple of weeks before coming here, had a message on the responsibilities of laymen in the church. What a prerequisite to this seminar here. And then a typographical mistake made me also want to come to this seminar. A cadet just out of the training school had made this error. And where it said offering in the morning, it said core treasurer. In the evening, she had just reversed those 2 letters, and I had become the territorial commander. So I felt good about coming here. But the Lord has worked with me, and the Holy Spirit has worked with me while at this seminar. We went out on visitations this afternoon, and I went with Eleanor, and I want to give her all the credit in the world because she was a good helpmate. And the Holy Spirit certainly must have prepared those people at the home that we had gone to. We went into a home that there was a mother and father. They were about 30 years of age, and they had 3 children, very well-behaved children. We were able to get through the four spiritual laws with them. And let me tell you, it wasn't Lester Peacock saying those four spiritual laws, because I don't believe that I could have read them if it hadn't been the Holy Spirit reigning. I praise God for that. They did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They said that they would like to give it some time. I says, very well. I says, I think we can have some follow-up on this. I would like for you to take this book and read it through, and maybe later that you would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. They accepted it very well. I think there is a chance there for a follow-up ministry, Major Ball, because they seem very interested. They told us they were unchurched but would like to get churched. Now, another thing that I liked about that family, the three little kids, and I say the Holy Spirit must have had something to do with it, because I certainly didn't know those kids' names, but one of the kids' names was on his sweater. He was called Jogger. Now, that must have been his name, surely. And then there was one Sleeper, and it must have fit them well, because the one that was the Sleeper, he was on the floor. And they were two little fellows. But I praise the Lord and praise the Holy Spirit, because it certainly was with me today. Thank you.
He careth for you. He careth for you.
Choice. I'm here, but I'm gone. I'm up here. We went out today. The first couple of houses we went to, there wasn't anybody home. And we got to this one house. Mother answered the door. And we were standing there, we were talking to her and getting that. We went on the child evangelism, and we were trying to get their survey, their name, and their home. And the children were there. She was babysitting. She had about, I don't know, five kids, I think. And she was babysitting all these little children. Well, Leslie's getting all the information. I'm there getting the children all excited about the meeting. They'd never seen the instruments, and they'd never seen a puppet show, and they wanted to go, and they wanted to sing. And the mother goes, you can't go. You can't go. So I said to the mother, I says, well, if I take them down and bring them back, can they go? And she let all the children go but the little baby. Well, we came to another door, and on the door it had this sign, great big bold letters. Do not knock for any reason or something. Do not knock for any reason. Music's playing inside. We knew they were inside. And all these doors, you could tell they were inside. But this lady had come up, because the house we were at with the mother and the children, the little girl comes running out, Mommy, Mommy, Rita was on the phone. Did you know the Salvation Army's coming around? Don't answer your door. And by the time the mother had already answered the door. So, I mean, it was already too late. And she goes, the Salvation Army, you know, and then she starts slowing up. And we knew that they were there, but they wouldn't answer the doors. And I felt really bad that I couldn't do something, because we had a lot of houses where there were people there, but they wouldn't answer the door. But the main thing is this afternoon I was thinking about it, and it really bothered me. And even though we couldn't get through to them, they knew we were there and that someone cares. And little did they know that on the back of our sheet we wrote down all the apartments. There was somebody home, but they wouldn't answer the door. So we came in such a big crowd, I think that we scared a lot of them. So we just took and wrote down their numbers, and that there was somebody home, but they wouldn't answer the door, so that when they go from their core out, they're going in smaller groups, so they're not going to be on guard to get them. So we're going to get them one way or another. And I really thank God for the talent of working with little children. I worked with little children when I was in college, and I thought, oh, what good is this ever going to do me? And I really respect little children. And I love them. People say that children are the ministry of tomorrow, but they're really not. They're the ministry of today.
Yeah.
Because every single book and every single paper I handed out to those children, I says, now you go home and make sure Mommy and Daddy read it. What if Mommy and Daddy don't read it? I think you keep asking them. They're going to read it to you because a little child can nag a mom and dad. They're going to give up. And sooner or later, they're going to give in and read to the little child. And it's going to make sense to the parents. That, you know, there is going to be some meaning in that. And boy, I handed out everything I could to those little children. And if everybody was as eager to take all the literature, all the knowledge, and everything they could home like the little children could, just think of how great and how big it would be if everybody, you know, was that anxious to learn about the Word of God. We had two little kids that we had gone to the first house, came running down, and it had been raining where we were. Running down in the rain, they said, "Mommy let us come out. She wants to know if we can have a picture of Jesus." They took home, we had one last picture of Jesus, and Leslie gave it to them. They took the picture of Jesus home, and they said to me, "Guess what? Mommy said that maybe we can go to Sunday school next Sunday." And they said, "Are you going to be there? Mommy wants to know." And I said to them, I said, "Honey, I won't be there, but there's lots of other people who love you just as much as I do, and they love Jesus." And I says, "And they're going to be more than glad to have you come to church." They go, "Really? There's more people?" I said, "Oh, there's a lot more."
Very good. Amen.
You know, as I was standing there, I'll get to what I wanted to say at the end, but God just struck me that we have many seeds planted here that I don't think anybody realizes. And this all comes around to my testimony tonight. Today, as we were going around, I was fairly confident as we went out and I prayed that God would have His way as we went out. And Mike and Dave were with me. And Mike had the opportunity of the first one. He just kind of got elected. And we talked to this man, and Mike was going through the book, and he said he was a Christian. But when he was very young, he got turned off by the, he was a Baptist, and he got turned off by the sacraments in the church and all the things that it wasn't enough that you loved Jesus, but you had to do all this other stuff thrown in. And so we talked to him about it and told him that the army wasn't like that. And tried to explain to him that all the things that the army was and how we cared, and that it was enough, that all you did have to do is believe in Jesus, because that's all He requires of us. And so after that, we all got kind of a little bit more enthusiastic, because the guy responded, and it just helped us. And then the first thing we know is we're out of houses and out of people, and we got very down and depressed and upset because we didn't have anywhere to go. And so we all went down and we all grouped together and we all complained about the small area and the number of people, and we were really mad. But you know, God performed a miracle there, or at least with me, because I'm a God's chicken. As we went up to Pikes Peak, they said you could get a button that says I'm a Pikes Peak chicken. As we were going along, I kind of looked over the side and I got, So the lady said that up there you could get a Pikes Peak chicken. But I'm a God's chicken. I hate going out, and any other time I would have said, "Oh, Lord, hey, you're doing all right. Nobody's home." But, and just out of curiosity, a show of hands, how many people were disappointed today because they couldn't find people? And how many people are God's chickens before they came here? I mean, really, I mean, look at the seeds that were planted in this way. But you know, I knew before I left that I wouldn't be the same person when I came back. The Sunday before I left, Captain Marston said, "Okay, since Eddie and Bonnie aren't going to be here next week, Eddie, we're going to let you give the first testimony today." Oh, I had to go to work, and so that was part of it too. And so I went up and I said that I just had a feeling that I wouldn't come back to Corning the same way I left. And last night I really had to give all everything back over to God, because I got tore up like you wouldn't believe Monday. Because, you know, if something doesn't work, it's the officer's fault. And we have a knack, especially, I don't know if Corning's any different from any place else, but of blaming the officer. If this officer didn't do this, if this officer didn't do that, or if this officer cared more, we wouldn't have the problems we do. And so I got really ripped up. on Monday, and I had to do it then and say, okay, God, I realize there are some things wrong. And then, I don't know if it was yesterday or today, Captain Price went through it was today because we didn't get our blue books until today. And he went through about the in-between, and he just listed them. And I was more in between than I thought. And he just went down one by one, and he tore me up. He just killed me. And it was a thing where you just...